How is your blood pressure?
According to medical authorities, one out of every four Americans alive today will die as a result of cancer. In spite of some encouraging drug research, a cancerous sore will soon break into an epidemic which will kill millions in a year. Stay tuned for the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Say, if you were driving on the highway today and came to seven red lanterns strung across the road, would you rush right on through? Of course not. There isn't anybody in this right mind who would do that. A red lantern on the highway means danger ahead. It also means safety, of course, if heeded. Now, God is hanging out seven red lanterns before this generation. Seven terrible plagues are soon to smite the earth, and God is sending a message of warning to the people. Before the flood came, God, in mercy, sent a message. He hung out a red light before those people in Noah's time. But, of course, they refused to heed that warning, and everybody in the antediluvian world perished, except those eight people who heeded the red light. Now, before the Lord rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, he also sent a warning to them. And the only people who escaped were those who heeded the warning from God. Today, God is sending a warning about the seven terrible plagues that are coming. I read in Revelation 15:1 and the 16th chapter, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." Now, if I should ask, what would you like to know most about these seven last plagues, you would probably say, well, I'd like to know when these plagues will fall and how I can escape them. So we're going to take these up one by one. The first question, when are they coming? Now, the scriptures show that the seven last plagues are God's final judgments on this earth. And if that's true, then they come just prior to the very last day. Some are of the opinion that the seven last plagues will begin to fall about 1 year before the coming of Christ, and I'm inclined to agree with them. I think you'll find this supported in Revelation 18:8. "Therefore shall her plagues come in 1 day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." Now, it would be utterly impossible for all of these plagues to fall in 1 day of 24 hours. And since we're dealing with prophecy, and since Revelation is a book of symbols, I think you'll find this day probably can easily represent a prophetic day, or 1 year. In Ezekiel 4:6, God says, "I have appointed thee each day for a year." And that means that it will take about a year for the plagues to fall. Now, I never like to argue this point, but it certainly sounds consistent with the falling of the plagues, for it would take about a year, I think, for all of those plagues to fall and run their course. But I want you to notice, by comparing Revelation 15:1 and Revelation 14:9-11, that these plagues are the wrath of God poured out without mercy. Now, nowhere in all the Scriptures is the wrath of God meted out to mankind without mercy except right here. Now, friends, there's mercy for everyone who will turn to Jesus today. Mercy still lingers, for just as long as Jesus stands before God pleading His blood, there is forgiveness. In Hebrews 7:25 we read, "Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." But now listen, anybody who waits till Jesus has closed His work will never, never be saved. So you see that since these plagues are poured out without mercy, it shows that they cannot come until after the door of probation has closed. It shows also that during the time when the plagues fall, no one will have an opportunity to be saved. God speaks of this time and gives the exact words that will seal the destiny of every soul before the plagues begin to fall. And that's found in Revelation 22:11-12. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Now, I know this text has puzzled a lot of people. And these folks reason, well, does Jesus want a man who is unjust and filthy in sin to remain unjust and filthy in sin? No, not that, friends, and not now. He says in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You see, the Lord wants to take the man who is unjust and who is filthy in sin and wash him clean from every transgression. But when Jesus finishes His priestly work of reconciliation in the heavenly sanctuary, there is no hope for anybody. The Scriptures show that about 1 year before Christ appears, He will close His intercession for sinners. When He says it is finished, the door of salvation will be shut. Then the unjust will remain unjust. Why? Because they've waited too long. They will pray, but their prayers will be too late. That precious blood available today will not be available then. The seven last plagues, as the wrath of God unmixed with mercy, will bring the worst time of trouble and sorrow and anguish that the world has ever known. Daniel is speaking of this time of trouble in Daniel 12:1 when he says, "There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation." The seven last plagues which precede the departure of God's people out of this earth will be similar to those 10 terrible plagues that came on the land of Egypt just before the departure of God's people for the promised land. One of those plagues was a plague of boils. One of these will be a cancerous sore. The first of the seven last plagues will paralyze business. Factories will stop. The wheels will no longer turn because nearly all the workmen will be smitten with this cancerous sore. The stores will not open because the clerks will not report for duty. Trains will stop because the hand that controls the throttle will be subjected to this incurable sore. All who have the mark of the beast will be smitten. And then will come the second plague. The sea will be turned into blood, and every living creature in the sea will die. When the third plague comes, it will be one of the worst calamities ever to befall mankind. The rivers, the lakes, the springs will all turn to blood. For a time, the disobedient will have nothing but blood to drink. In one of the plagues on the Egyptians, you remember that, their water was turned to blood, and for 10 days the Egyptians had nothing but blood to drink. And during the fourth plague, the heat of the sun will be increased until it will sear the flesh like a red-hot iron. The Bible says it will scorch men with fire. Under the fifth plague, the sun, moon, and the stars will refuse to shine. Electric light systems will fail. There will be a time of darkness such as never has been. Now notice that these plagues do not kill the people outright. Revelation 16:10 indicates that those who have the incurable sore will be gnawing their tongues for pain when the awful darkness of the fifth plague falls. Now think of the indescribable suffering, each plague adding to the anguish. And this is a time when the wicked will have no rest day nor night. Now, you can better understand that now with the terrible sore eating their flesh and with nothing but blood to drink and with the sun scorching them with intense heat. How could they have any rest day or night? Under the sixth plague will come the final battle of Armageddon. And under the seventh plague will come the most terrible earthquake ever to occur in this earth. It says the cities of the nations fell. That means that New York, London, Berlin, Tokyo, every city will fall. Isaiah 24:20 says that the earth itself will reel to and fro like a drunkard. Also, under the seventh plague will come the rain of ice bombs, 56 pounds in weight. Think of it now, a chunk of ice the size of a half bushel basket. And after the hail is over, the heavens will open, and Jesus with all his holy angels will appear. But you ask, what will happen to the righteous during this time? Let's read that now in Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now listen, the 91st Psalm tells how God will protect his people through those plagues. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. So when the 10 plagues came on Egypt, Israel was protected. So in the Bible, we're clearly told that God's people will be protected during the 7 last plagues. When the disobedient have blood to drink, God's people will have pure water. Thy water shall be sure, the Bible says. When sinners will be scorched with fire, God will draw a shade over his people. Not a soul wants the plagues to fall on them, of course, and I'm determined to do what God wants me to do and to warn everybody else to be ready and be able to escape those plagues. The only way to escape, though, is to obey God's message of warning. Revelation 14:12 speaks of those who escape the unmingled wrath of God. And this is the way those people are described. It says, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You see, that's the only ones who will go through the gates of the city and who will be sheltered in that day when those plagues fall upon the earth. Only those who have the mark of the beast will receive the plagues. Now, you need to understand what the mark of the beast is, friend. Since our only hope for security and escape is to be found obedient to all of God's will, and those who are rescued from this disease sin-racked world will be the only ones who don't have the mark of the beast, then you need to know what that mark is. The fact is that most people have no idea whatsoever. They don't even know whether they have the mark or not because they don't know what it is. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.